We started a series called Help Me. Has anyone ever cried those words out? Said, help me. David did it, Psalms 13. And he cried out and said, how long, O Lord? And we talked about that. And then we talked about, what do you do when you hit rock bottom? I've had some of you come to me and said, Pastor, it's the craziest thing. This last week, you talked about, you know, hitting rock bottom, and then all of a sudden, I hit rock bottom. You got to know that when you're going through these struggles, God is up to something. Maybe today, have you ever, let me ask this, have you ever gotten a package in the mail, and it's can come in various sizes, it's white, it's usually delivered by FedEx, and it's in paper that just seems indestructible? I call it struggle paper. It's that envelope you can't open, and you know, your wife or your kid gives it to you and says, here, can you open this? And you're like, sure, because you want to look all tough and manly, but you're over here like, trying to tear away, and you can't do it. Now, I know today they put rip tabs and all that so you can get into it easy, but they don't always have that. And this paper, this U.S. postal paper, you can struggle with that all day long and not open it up. The only thing that'll get through that is a knife or a pair of scissors. And so it is in life. We'll face struggles that it feels like we're struggling and we don't know what to do and how to get out of it. Some of those struggles you experience, nothing you do in your own strength is going to get you through it. It's going to take something that's going to cut through all that struggle, and that is the Holy Spirit. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Amen? Amen. Just making sure you're out there. Okay, so we're here today. Do me a favor. Everyone, raise your right hand. Everyone? Okay. Now, the question is, how many of you here have ever struggled? I set you up. Because if you're here today and you're struggling, you don't really want to admit that, but the truth is we all struggle at some point. And the question is not will we ever face struggles, but what do we do when we face those struggles? I want to introduce you, and I think a good place to start is with somebody who understands struggles. This gentleman was persecuted, he was tested, he failed miserably, he wrestled with doubt, he wrestled with fear. I can identify with this guy, and this guy's name is Peter. I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. You can turn in your Bibles. You'll notice in your bulletin there's an outline, and there's references. You can go ahead, that way you can go ahead and turn in your own Bibles and find it, or you can use your whatever electronic device. You can look at YouVersion. We've got that on there as well. But Peter has something to say about struggles that we need to learn from. Peter didn't say, God, how can I stop struggling? He had something else to say. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. In other words, what he's saying is he says, one thing's for sure in this life, and it's this. You're going to face struggles. You're going to have setbacks in life. Don't be shocked by this fiery ordeal or this struggle that you go through. Don't let it shock you. Don't be going, what is this strange thing? I've never experienced struggles before. We've all experienced them. He's saying this, it's not abnormal. It's not abnormal to be struggling. I'm a Christian because we think this, if I'm a Christian and I'm struggling, then I must be doing something wrong, right? That's probably entered our minds, but the opposite is probably truer, is when we're actively moving, the enemy comes in like a flood and wants to take us out. And here's the thing we need to understand. We will have setbacks in life, financial, relational, emotional. You cannot stop the struggles from coming your way in life, but you can determine how you will respond in the midst of the struggles that you're going through. And your ability, by the way, to navigate through those struggles is going to determine the kind of outcome that you have. Here's what I mean. There are some people who go through struggles, and they get through those struggles and come out on the other side, and they're better. But then there's some people that go through struggles, and they go through that process, they go through those struggles, and they come out on the other side, and they're bitter. What makes the difference of whether I become bitter or whether I become better? The answer is how you respond to the struggle you go through. As a matter of fact, there's a bullet in your outline. It says, it's not the struggle that determines your success or failure. It's what you do during the struggle. That's what determines the outcome of your life or the struggle you're going through. Now, while God cares about what you're going through, He is more concerned with what you are allowing to go through. So don't get me wrong. God cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. But His greater concern is He already loves you. Now he's concerned about how you're processing. Are you looking for him in the midst of your struggle? So I want to just give you five things, what we need to know about struggles. What does the Bible have to say? What does God have to say about the struggles that we face? Number one, write this down. There is good in the struggle. There is good in the struggle. Now, some of you here today may not believe that. You might say, yeah, you don't know my kinds of struggles. No, I do. But when you're going through it, you don't always see the good. All you want to do is get out of that struggle, right? You want to get out. That's how do I get out of this situation? Don't you just wish there was some kind of pill you could take? That when you took the pill, you just forgot about all your problems? Your struggles just disappeared? Maybe there's a magical formula, abracadabra. And all of a sudden, all my struggles just went away. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could do that? Well, some of us here today may say, yeah, that would be awesome, but be careful what you wish for. Because if you wish that you could just say something to make your struggles go away, you may be saying, I want to also get rid of the good that God wants to bring through the struggle. There is always good to find in the midst of your struggle. Because when you weigh the negative of the struggle you're going through with the positive that you may learn there's some good in there, left to our own device, we will always choose a way out, right? But God says, be careful. Because there's good in the midst of the struggle that you're going through, but you have to let me reveal that to you. Scientists say this. They say that baby chicks, when they're hatching out of the shell, as they start to break through and they're pecking away, working at that shell, trying to get out, that there's something that's happening inside of them. And if you or I were to come and see that baby chick, and we look at that and we go, oh, look at that, he's so cute. And he's struggling to get out of the shell, and we help him out. And we pull the shell open for him. That baby chick will die. Scientists have proven that. They said the baby chick has to go through the struggle in order to become strong enough to survive. As a matter of fact, they said it's through the struggle of that chick pecking through the shell that the circulatory system is activated and developed inside of the baby chick's life. So there's good in the midst of that struggle, and there's good in the midst of yours. You may not see it, you may not believe it, you may not feel it, but it's there. Because if the struggle is removed for that baby chick, the baby chick dies. If we remove the struggle we're going through, we can remove the good that God wants to do. You know, one of the best classrooms for developing character is struggles. It provides lessons that bring depth to our life. And without struggles, we would lack the God-designed program that builds our character muscle. We must be willing to experience struggle for the sake of growth. So here's the bottom line. If we're going to do that and navigate through struggles, our compass has to be set correctly. Okay? That is the Word of God and the voice of His Holy Spirit. That's where we have to set our compass. You know, when I did a wedding in Dubuque years ago, I was using a TomTom or a whatever the navigational thing is. You know, they're a lot older and not as developed. And I had to go from the wedding to the reception, and I don't know Dubuque very well. So I punched in the address, and GPS took me 15 minutes later, and I was sitting at the base of a water tower. It had the wrong directions. It said, you have arrived. And I said, no, I haven't. But GPS didn't listen to me. It didn't care what I had to say. Now, technology has progressed way more so that 99, maybe 9%, you know, is going to be accurate, but it still makes mistakes. But there is one who's 100% correct, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can never go wrong listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why we must navigate and get our compass set. The standard must be the Word of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the two are inseparable. They're inseparable. Now, have you also noticed when you take out your phone to go somewhere, you can punch in directions, I want to go to J&D Steakhouse for lunch. Boop. And it'll bring up the address. And one of the first things it will do is it will ask you, can I use your location, right? Why does it ask you that? Because it wants to know where you're at so that it can tell you where to go. You know, there's going to be times where you're going through struggles and you're going to say, God, all I know is I want to get here. And sometimes we're going to need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to first of all identify where we're at. Does that make sense? Now, you may know, well, I know where I'm at. I'm at Church of the Open Door in Clinton, Iowa. I don't mean physically, necessarily. Well, I know where I'm at. I'm a believer. I've been blood bought by the blood of Jesus. You can rattle off some kind of rap that sounds good, but is it true? Is there a depth in the relationship where you're crying out saying, I need to know what God has for me? I'm struggling. If you're going to get to that place, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, because He's asking you, okay, do you mind if I share with you your location? Because how are you going to know to get there if you don't know where you're truly at? God wants to bring truth into our lives, and there's good in the midst of struggles. Our compass must be set correctly. The standard is the Word of God. It's the voice of His Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we will discover that though still through struggles, God always works for our good. Say that with me. God always works for our good. You've got to remind yourself of that, because you'll always think you have a better plan. You'll always think you have a better way. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:31, I think you know the verse. I'll say it, see if you can finish it. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, then what? Who can be against us? God is always at work for your good, for my good. God will not allow, by the way, catch this, God will not allow suffering to come your way without first passing through His fingers. You never go through suffering and God goes, oh, I didn't notice you over there. I didn't know you were going through that. Man, I've been so busy over here. God knows exactly what's going on. Well, why would He allow me to struggle? Let me ask it a different way. If God's so good, then why do bad things happen? Why do I have to wrestle and struggle with this? We will always go through struggles. God, you will find that in life, there's going to be good that's in the midst of the struggle. But also, number two, write this down. Know that God's love includes struggles. God's love includes struggles. Everything that God has done in our lives is going to be based upon His character. And the character of God is L-O-V-E, love. That's His character. So He's going to reveal that to us. But the way that the way He's going to do it is through discipleship. He wants to make disciples of us, you and me, correct? Okay, He does. The process that He's going to do that in is called discipleship, okay? But do you know what other word we get from disciple and discipleship? We get the word discipline. You see, sometimes He'll bring disciplines in our life, or He will discipline us because there's something He wants to speak to us. But you got to know that God is always in the midst of the struggles, and God's love is included in the struggles. He reveals things to you in the struggle because He loves you, because He loves me. You know, I shared this story before, excuse me. But they're in California, I mean everywhere, cars are stolen a lot. But in this particular one, California, there was a statewide APB that was put out for this man who stole the car. And they were more serious and intense about it than others. And the reason wasn't just because he stole the car. It was because in the car that he stole, there was a package of crackers that was laced with poison. Now, if you're like me, this is a true story, by the way. If you're like me, I'm like, who in the world is driving around with poisonous crackers in their car? Well, the answer was this. He had a cabin, and he had a mice problem. So he decided to lace these crackers with poison. He was going to go to the cabin. He was going to feed them their last supper, and then they could go off and, you know, quietly die somewhere. He had it all figured out, but right when he's getting ready to leave, he forgot something. Opens his door, goes into the house, left the car running. Somebody jumped in the car and stole it. And all of a sudden, he calls the police and explains the story to them. And there's a nationwide or statewide APB that's put out. There was an intense search for this guy. Why? Because he stole the car? No, because the guy that stole the car didn't know the potential of the danger that was inside the car. What if this guy says, man, whew, stealing cars makes me hungry, and he eats a cracker, he's dead. So there was a great pursuit out there. Why? Because he's such a criminal? No, because they cared about his life. Love. That was love. And many times, God will pursue you so vigorous, and God will kind of be in your face sometimes. Why? Because He wants to give you a hard time? No, because He loves you, and He doesn't want you to eat the cracker, whatever that cracker is, whatever attitude that might be, whatever lie it is the enemy's trying to sell you. Don't eat the cracker. God's got something better for you, and that's His love that He wants to pass on to you and to me, and it will give you depth and it will give you vision. And you may say, I don't really have that direction. I don't have that vision. That's something God can reveal to you. Can I share with you my personal vision that the Lord gave me? Is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway, so I just want to see if you... are okay with it. You know, I had somebody challenge me recently, and they said, Jim, what's God speaking to you personally? You know, what's your vision? And I said, my vision? Oh, and I used the church vision statement, to be a light in a dark place, to be a light that shines so bright that attracts both the Christian and the non-Christian. You know, I kind of started to rattle it off, and he said, no. He said, I didn't ask you for the church's vision. He said, I asked you for yours. And I went, and I was fishing in my head, you know, trying to think of what can I make up real quick that sounds spiritual? What can I make up real quick that sounds good? And I was coming up with nothing, and I was kind of embarrassed, and I said, I don't know. So now I feel pretty dumb. You know, I'm not. I just, you know, started to feel that way. I should have one. And here's what happened. This gentleman helped me realize there's something else I need to recalibrate to. And I got to tell you, folks, it was a struggle when I started asking the Lord, Lord, what is my vision? What am I here for? What is it you want me to do? I don't understand. And that was a struggle. But here's what the Lord revealed to me. I'm just sharing with what he revealed to me. I hope that when you come, if you come to Church of the Open Door, I hope that you experience this. I hope that when you see me at the grocery store, that you experience this. I'm not perfect, though. I'm human, just like you. I have bad days. But here's what the Lord revealed to me. My personal vision. I want to help people become spiritually mature in their walk with Christ, that they may develop deep roots, become strong, and stand firm no matter what life throws their way. That's my personal vision that God's given me. That's my desire. He even gave me a verse, Colossians 2:7. It's out of the Contemporary English Version, but it says, plant your roots in Christ. Let him be the foundation for your life. Be strong in your faith, just as you were taught, and be grateful. When I discovered this, I'm like, that's it. I've been doing this. That's been my passion. If you put your finger on my, you know, what's been my pulse, what's been my heartbeat, it's for people to understand what it means to be spiritually mature and grow in your relationship with Christ. Because when you do that, all of a sudden, there's a fresh breath of air of his spirit that comes into your life. It's like, to me, it's like when people are begging and they say, I need some food. I know where some food's at. Let me help you find it. Do you know how I got to that place of that personal vision? Through a struggle. I was miserable. I was mad. I was angry because I'm 49 years old. I should have personal vision. I mean, another year and I'm going to be dead, right? I'm getting old, God. I'm just wasting away here. You know, you can get all negative like that if you want to, but that's just the enemy at work along with yourself probably. But the reality is if you find yourself in a place where you're saying, I'm not where I want to be, all you have to do is this. Lord, what vision do you have for me? As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge you. If you don't have a personal vision, go ask the Lord. Oh, I'm too busy. Man, too busy now. But when life starts punching you in the head, you're going to be finding a way to cry out to God, aren't you? Wouldn't it be nice to have vision ahead of time? So that when the world throws a punch, you can go, you can duck them. Because you know, those things start to slide off, but you can't have that without personal vision. God will bring that into your life. 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, he is the one who is so wonderfully comforts and strengthens us in our hardships so that we can pass on this same help and comfort that God has given to us. That just ties in with my own personal vision. I think what's funny is this. I shared with you that I always said, man, I can't wait to get through high school. As soon as I'm done with high school, I'm done. I'm just going to watch TV the rest of my life, mooch off my parents or whatever it took. You know, that's life as I know it right there. And what's funny is as soon as I graduated, like within a couple of years, I went to community college. I went to a technical college. I went to Bible college. I went and did a master's program. I think the Lord just has a sense of humor. I should have said, man, when I graduate, I'm going to be a millionaire. Maybe he would have fulfilled that one too. But and now, just for kicks and giggles, because I'm not doing any schooling, I signed up to audit some classes, which means I pay money to go take these classes and get absolutely no credit. I just get the experience. You know, what a nerd, right? And there's so many things that I'm learning in the process. But here's my point. In those years of education, I've had a lot of teachers, a lot of professors, a lot of dean of families and that. And the greatest teachers were not the ones who taught me how much they know. The greatest teachers were the ones that taught from their scars, their pain, and their struggles. because they could sit there and say, this is what we should do, and 1 Peter says that, and Psalm says that. Okay, I agree with them. I'm not disagreeing. But when somebody says, yeah, I got fired, I lost my job, I lost my marriage, I wanted to end it all, but the Spirit of God got a hold of me, and this is what I found, that's a scar. That's a struggle. That's a pain. And we can identify with those because they become testimonies that overcome the enemy that we face. So the greatest teachers will be from others who understand those struggles. Number three, write this down because I got to get scooting. Struggles and tests, they increase our faith. They also increase your faith. If you're going through a struggle, know this. You're going through an opportunity where the Lord is going to increase your faith. James, I'm not going to read it right now, but someone that says, count it all joy or consider it all joy, my brethren. And we all say, yeah, I don't think so. We don't like that verse. But it says, when you count it all joy, it's not saying if you count it all joy, you won't face struggles. It says, count it all joy when you go through struggles, knowing that there's a perfecting process that I'm doing. I'm building endurance in your life. He's saying this, the testing process is what develops character. It's what develops character. If my faith remains untested, then I do not generate faithful fruit. But when God tests my faith, he activates it, like putting yeast in bread. There's an activation process that takes place, and it starts to rise. Tests will help you to become productive, and God will help you through them. He will not always give you the answers, but he'll lead you to them. A young man was taking a test, and he was kind of the teacher's pet, and he was kind of good at math, and they had an algebra quiz test going on, and all of a sudden, when the test came out, he froze. Have you ever been there? And he couldn't figure anything out, and the teacher strolled around and up by his desk and saw that he was stuck. He hadn't written the thing, and he said, you doing all right? And the student said, is there any way I can get out of this test? And the teacher said, yes. You can fall down dead right now, and you'll be out of the test. Well, that didn't happen, so the kid started to struggle, and the teacher just said this. He said, I don't know what the equation was, I'm making this up now, but he said, what's 3 times 4? And the student panicked, 22, no, 12, it's 12. He said, what's X equal, what's the X factor? By the way, remember I told the whole class it's on the board, so the student looks, oh yeah, that's right, and he says, X equals 10. So the teacher looks at him and says, so what's 12 times X? And the student said, 12 times X, X is 10, 100 to 12, 120. And he said, there. And the teacher walked away. You see, the teacher tested him with questions until he got it. And he wasn't testing him in order to get him to fail. He was testing him to guarantee his success. And that's exactly what God will do with you and me at times. We're going through struggles. We say, God, give me the answer now. I need to know the answer. And God shows up and he says, I'm not going to give you the answer, but let me ask you a question. Why are you so angry? And you'll go, well, I don't know. Gotta look and say, who do you need to forgive? Forgive? What do you mean? And you see, God will lead you to this place where when you're struggling, that you can discover the answers, but he's not going to do the work for you. He's going to lead you there. How many of you ever heard the phrase, you can lead the horse to water? Right? So it's time for you and me to take a big drink. God will lead us there, but we've got to be in cooperation with his Holy Spirit. Number four, struggles prompt us to change. How many of you love change? Well, probably not many. Change isn't always fun. But let me read to you, it's a scripture, but I found it unique. I'm going to read it to you from the New American Standard Version, and then I'll read it from the, it's called the Good News Translation. I read New American Standard when I'm studying, and I read a different translation when I'm doing devotions. I like to find different ones, and because for a good example is for this. I read Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 in the NASB, and it says, stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. Oh, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds very poetic, doesn't it? Almost Shakespearean in a way, but I have no clue what it means. I didn't understand that. And so I went and I looked at the Good News Translation, and you all probably see it up there. Let's read it together, nice and loud. Same verse, different translation. Ready? Go. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Now, I understand that. How about you? See, sometimes the struggle you're going through, will prompt you to change. But isn't it true that we resist change? Yeah. You know what gets me into the dentist chair? Pain. I don't call him up once a month because I'm just thinking about him. I love him just fine. He's a great guy. He caters to wimps like me. But I don't sit there and say, you know what? I haven't seen Doc in a month. I think I'll just run over there and see if he wants to floss my teeth. It's not going to happen because he might find something. And then he'll get out that drill. And he, you know, it sounds like a little tiny whine, but it feels like a chainsaw to me. So I'll be at home, and I can be walking around, and all of a sudden I experience some pain in my mouth. I'll be like, ooh. And the first thing I do is I'm like, how bad is the pain? On a scale of 1 to 10, 4. Okay, I'm not calling him. But on a scale of 1 to 10, if when it hits 8 or 9, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to call him. I really need him bad because I'm in pain. What motivates me to change? A lot of times, it's pain. A lot of times. One of the major reasons we experience stress in our lives, by the way, is we believe one thing, but we're not practicing it in our lives. We're unwilling to change. For example, if you drove here today, I'm sure most of you came in cars, on right behind your steering wheel, there is a dashboard, right? And on your dashboard, if something goes wrong in your car, the dashboard will light up with a warning light, correct? How many of you have ever had a warning light come up on your dashboard? Okay, your warning light is doing just that, warning you that there's something greater going on underneath the hood of the car. So if you unscrew the bulb, that doesn't fix the problem. There, light's off. I don't have to worry. Anyone ever put tape over the light? Or know somebody that did it? That light is just annoying me. It won't go off. There. Now I can't see it anymore. That doesn't fix anything. Nothing has changed. That's ridiculous, right? Who would do that? But sometimes in life, God will show up and he'll go, bling, your oil pressure's low or your temperature's too hot. And you know what we do? We put tape over it. We try to pretend. We mask the pain. You know, whoever invented the snooze button is a genius. But what they did was they created something that enables us to procrastinate. I would be willing to bet that this morning there's many of you here today that set your alarm not based on the time you needed to get up, but based on how many times you're going to hit the snooze button before you actually get up. You know what I'm talking about? Because before you'd set the alarm and it'd be, and you'd get up and, I got to get going. But when snooze came around, you could hit that thing, bam, you hit that thing, I got 5 to 9 more minutes of peace, right? But what happens is we now live life based not on, I need to get up at 6:30. It's, I'm going to hit the snooze once. And then after a few days, it's, I'm going to hit it twice. And then after a few more days, it's, I'm going to hit it 3 times. And now we're setting our alarms for 3 a.m. because we know we're going to hit it 25 times before we actually get up. It's 6:30 a.m. and we wonder why we're so exhausted and worn out and sleepy. I don't understand why I'm grouchy and my countenance isn't as good as it is. But here's my point. We have to come to a place that whether it be a warning light on the dashboard or a snooze button in your home, never let yourself get to a place that you just start to live life on automatic. Don't let this become a commonplace, the struggles that you go through. You're not going to reside there forever. You're going to get through it. But don't hit the snooze button when you're going through a struggle. You can't pretend you're not struggling. You can't wish it away. You can't hope it. You can pray about it. And you can say, Lord, I got to cling to something because he's going to say, well, cling to me because I never change. And as soon as you do that, you start learning. But too many times, we don't want to cling to him. Life is going to change. But we must know that when the world's changing, we've got to cling to him. Number 5 is this, and I'll get ready to close. Thing we need to know about struggles is struggles develop character. Struggles develop character. As we've stated already, struggles are the best classroom. Jesus went through it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, although he was a son, it says, he learned obedience from things which he suffered. So we know right here that Jesus suffered. And when he suffered, he learned. Suffered, learned. Suffered, learned. How many of you here today would say, I've suffered, I know what it's like? Then my next question would be, did you learn? Because that's the goal, is when you're going through suffering, to learn. Don't try to just buckle down and say, if I can just get through this and make it. I'll tell you what, if you just get through a moment of struggling and don't learn the lesson, you're going to go through the same struggle again. You're going to go through it again. But as you go through it, he will develop character in your life. You know what makes you valuable? Can I let you in on this? What makes you valuable is not that you suffered. I suffered for the name of Jesus. Okay, that's great. But here's what makes you really valuable. It's what you learned in the middle of your suffering. That's what makes you valuable. That's what makes you valuable. The question will always be, have you learned from your suffering? Have you learned from it? I'm convinced that life consists of 10%. What happens to you, 90% is how you react to what happens to you. You get to choose. One of the most beautiful classrooms is going to be in the red hot cauldron of struggles. We just got to be willing to learn. 1 Peter 4:13 says this, right after we just spent this last time on verse 12. But verse 13 says, as you allow God to work within you, you need to keep on rejoicing. In other words, you're going to experience suffering, but let there always be a song in your heart. You know, it's last Tuesday. You ever have God just drop a song in your heart? You know what I'm talking about? You're at home and all of a sudden just kicks in. We're at the end of council and this song just started to kick through my heart. And it was an oldie but a goodie, okay? But I can only remember about two or three words. Something about his presence, and I almost forgot at first service, and here it is. I had to go Google it and look it up, and I was just singing it. I went home and I Googled it, played it on my stereo and just sang it because nobody else was there, so nobody cares how I sound. But it was an old song, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Do you remember that song? Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Why did that song come on my heart? Because I'm like some weird kid who grew up in a Christian home and had all these oldies crammed in his head. Well, that's part of it. But the greater part is the Spirit of God was just downloading a song into my spirit. I didn't know why. I don't even know if I still do, but is that okay to not know everything that the Lord's up to? Is it okay to just worship Him? Is it okay to just trust Him? So I went home and I started walking through the house. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in. And before I know it, all of a sudden she's singing, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome. And I knew it just gave me the goosebumps. It gives it to me now. And goosebumps are not an indicator of the Holy Spirit, okay? But sometimes we feel that because there's a presence. Something the Lord just wants to know. I just want to be in your presence. I want you to invite me into that. You may be going through struggles today. Latch onto a song. Say, Lord, would you download a song within my heart? Would you give me that personal vision? Let me end with this. Bear with me. 4 to 5 more minutes, okay? There was a real-life master potter. Remember in Jeremiah, the potter and the clay, that story? You may or may not remember it, but someone talked to a real-life master potter. And they asked them, when you make all of your creations and you get them all constructed and that, how do you know when it's done? How do you know? It's not like there's a stick a temperature thing in there or what? I don't know. And he said, here's what I do. He said, I take a vessel, and after it's created, however I want it, he says, I take the vessel, I place it in the oven, and I close the doors. And he said, well, okay, great. Now that it's in there, how do you know when it's done? He says, at a certain time, here's what I'll do. I'll pull one of the vessels out of the oven. I'll give it a sharp flick on the side of the rim. And he says, and if I hear a thud, then I know there's still water in the vessel. So I put it back in the oven, and I close the doors. After a few more, moments, he says, later I'll remove it. I'll thump it again. If there's still a thud, back in the oven it goes. He said, then the next time, he says, after I do it one more time, he says, I take it back out, and I give it just a gentle but a sharp strike on the rim. And he said, and if this time it sings, then I know it's ready to be removed. And I thought it's so unique that he say that exact phrase, because maybe you're going through struggles. How many of you have ever felt maybe this week like you've been in the oven? Maybe today you still feel like you're there. Maybe today you feel like he's increased the temperature. You need to know that the struggle you go through, you don't go through alone. You don't go through in vain. But there's going to come a time when the Holy Spirit's going to come alongside him. He's going to flick you on the side, and he wants to know, are you going to sing? Are you going to sing? Or is there going to be that dull thud? God is the master potter, and he wants us to become our very best. So sometimes he'll put us back in the oven. Well, that doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound fair. Talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They understand what it means to be put in a fire, but it was in the furnace that they started dancing and singing, praising, worshiping. in the middle of the fire. They understood what it meant to struggle. And the Master Potter has great plans for you as well. Cooperate with them and watch what God can do. Why does God let us struggle? Because it's the fastest way to become a fine and finished masterpiece. So Jesus, I ask today that as we've just taken time to hear your Holy Spirit, Lord, there's many here today that may be struggling. I pray today that you would come in a special way, in a very unique way, like only your Holy Spirit can do. And that you will meet them where they're at in the midst of their struggle and in the midst of all of the questions. And that, Lord, you would allow there to be something, a transformation process that takes place. Lord, I pray where the enemy has spoken lies, that you will speak truth now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray where there's darkness, you'll bring light. I pray where there's depression and downness, you'll bring your joy. But Lord, I'm not asking that you erase all the struggles. I'm asking you to teach us in the midst of them. Because we do acknowledge today that you love us, that there's good in these struggles. And Lord, we admit to you that we just want to get out of it. But Lord, may we learn today that the fastest route is to learn the lessons that you're teaching us in the middle of them. So we receive that today in Jesus' name. Amen, church.